Okay, so this afternoon, we're going to be looking at the next portion of our scripture in Ephesians. What we've had over the last couple of weeks, Paul has been giving instruction to the different family groups as to how they should conduct their household relationships. And it also spills out into the work environments. And sometimes, because back in this time, the two were kind of sometimes intermeshed. So he spoke to husbands and wives and to children. Because within that family, back in those days, sometimes the children might have been married themselves and had their own children, and they were all living in the same house. And if they could, and they had people working for them, which the Bible calls slaves, then the slaves would be living in the household as well, and their families too. They all lived in together into this big family group. So harmony and unity, the kingdom way of relating within these relationships is what Paul was speaking to. And it speaks to us as well because, you know, get a group of people together, whatever the mix, there are differences. And sometimes differences cause conflict, and conflict is not always dealt with well and not necessarily in a way that honours and reflects the kingdom way that we've been taught. So this next passage of scripture also speaks to conflict. It actually goes a little bit further and calls it a battle. However, this battle is unlike the ones which we might encounter, where it's will against will and might against might. This kind of battle is that of the spiritual kind. So we're going to read the passage now, Ephesians 6, verses 10 through to 20. It'll come up on the screen. Paul writes, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the evil day comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray for me also," Paul says, "that whenever I speak, words may be given so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." Paul here is telling the church in Ephesus, and obviously us also, that there is a struggle that we encounter as part of our life in Christ. It is when we struggle and wrestle against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now, the heavenly realm for most of us is generally unseen, but its impact on the lives of many is incredibly obvious. For the spiritual forces of evil, we do see its impact on people and the world around us, obviously to differing degrees. For some, with intention, have openly and willingly invited evil influence into their lives. And the fruit of this is greed and lust and lies and harm, violence. Others have not intentionally opened themselves up, but we still see their influence, for the cunning and subversive influence of these spirits can be subtle, yet nonetheless damaging. In delightful contrast, the power and the movement and the influence of the Spirit of God is also outworked and displayed. And there are those of us who have openly and willingly welcomed the Spirit's presence and power into our lives, seeking to be led and guided by His unseen presence. The fruit of which we see is people display things like patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, love expressed in many varying ways, especially in challenging situations. With God's generosity, we see people who unintentionally display these fruits. But Jesus says in John 10:10 that the thief comes, the thief being the devil. He comes to steal, kill and destroy, but he comes to give life and life to the full. Those are really two contrasting purposes and intention. So, as we who follow Christ, who desire to have life, we know that our adversary is wanting to destroy, steal, and kill. Now, this can all sound rather overwhelming. However, we know that Christ, having paid the price for sin through his death on the cross, has disarmed these rulers and authorities, triumphing over them. We know that in Revelation, we read that the devil will be defeated. But because that he knows that his time on earth is short, he is wreaking havoc wherever he can. And it's this havoc that Paul is telling us to take a stand against, to stand firm and to stand our ground. Fortunately for us all, we don't have to stand in our own strength. For Paul knows, and if we're honest, we know ourselves, that our strength is not strong enough. We need more than sheer will and gritted determination. We need the strength and the power of God's mighty Spirit to help us. It's not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Now, just as the devil delights to take away from us, he likes to steal our peace, our joy, our security, our sanity, our focus on God, our health, we are reminded that God is the giver of good gifts, of every spiritual blessing. His generosity is outstanding. And none more so is evident in that same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us who believe in Jesus. This is the incredible gift that God has given to us, especially when we are tempted, or in times of doubt and confusion, or when we're experiencing mental, emotional, or physical pain and suffering. For it's in these times that we need the strength to stand and have faith in our faithful God. Not only are we called to be strong in the Lord and in His strength, but we're also called to put on the full armor of God. Now, I'm sure like me, you've all heard many messages on the armor of God. So I'm not going to speak to that, to the individual pieces of the armor this afternoon. But when I think of armor, I do think of a soldier. And in the time that Paul wrote this letter to the church in Ephesus, a Roman soldier would be a common sight in the marketplace. So when Paul speaks of armor, it would remind them of the raw reality of a battle. Because the spiritual battle that goes on around us is not obviously visible, and his language doesn't necessarily evoke in us the reality of war, we need to try and understand what Paul is trying to tell us about the serious nature of the battle that we're in. Now, a soldier would not go into battle without his armor. That would be a really foolish thing to do. We're not to go about our days, our daily lives, without the armor of God that he has given to us. That being the truth of God, the peace of his gospel, the righteousness and salvation that is given by Christ, faith and the word of God, and the prompting and the leading and the presence of the Spirit of God. Now, like a good soldier, we are responsible for tending to our own kit, to our own training, so that we will continue to learn to discern truth, so that we would grow in our understanding of the kingdom way of living, and that our faith and trust in God would grow as we outwork our salvation. So a soldier wears an armor, but a soldier does not fight any battle on their own, for they're part of a unit. And within that unit, yes, they're responsible for themselves, but they're also responsible for the welfare of the others who are in that unit. And then the unit is part of a greater army. The presence of an army tells us that they are aware that there is a battle, or that they are prepared for battle. And if they need to, then they will defend lives and hold ground. Each unit receives orders from above, and their response to the orders is to obey them for the good of all. I think what I'm trying to say here, well, what I want to say here, is that when we find ourselves in a battle, when we find ourselves facing the subtle and sometimes the not-so-subtle schemes of the devil, when we find ourselves wrestling, which we often do, and we will continue to do so, whether it be through temptations, through the things that we watch or we read, whether it be with our thoughts, do we find ourselves going down rabbit holes that aren't healthy or good for us? Are we listening to lies rather than the truth of God? Are we distorting or even listening to the distortion of God's word? Did God really say that? What does he really mean? Maybe, you know, we start to believe some untruths about God's word. And sometimes when we encounter pain and suffering that we can't understand why, it can be so distressing. And the worst thing we can do is think that we have to fight it alone. Even if we think, yep, I'm standing strong in God and in his mighty power, I can do this on my own, just me and Jesus. It may be that we don't want others to know what it is that we're facing, you know, what our real wrestles are. Maybe we don't want people to know what our weaknesses are, and so we withdraw and we isolate, or we pull back and distance ourselves from others, and we try and go it alone. 1 Peter 5:8 reminds us that our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You only need to watch nature programs to see that those who isolate themselves from the herd become the most vulnerable to attack. However, this is exactly the time that we should stand together. The church family and the church community is the God-ordained place for us to stand strong together. It's where we encourage and support one another. And we stand alongside each other as we stand firm and strong. I remember well Dr. Parker, an Australian lecturer from Alpha Crucis, saying that the best form of spiritual warfare is when families stand strong together. Our own homes, our own families, and also spiritual families, all ages and stages of life, standing together, shoulder to shoulder, hip to hip, a united force together. See, as we do that, as we share, it means then that I can share my battle experiences that may help you in your battle and help you to dodge some of the flaming arrows that Satan fires at us. You might teach me how to keep truth front and center and remind me of who I am in Christ. It may just be your presence with someone that tells them that they're not alone and they're not the only one who is facing these kinds of challenges. It's also when we encourage one another to keep God's armor on, to hold firm to the truth, peace, and our faith in Christ. Reminding us that our salvation and righteousness comes from Christ. Nothing we can do but take hold of it. Reminding each other of the word of God and planting it firmly in our hearts and in our minds. And sometimes we need a hand up from the sinking sand so that we can once again stand on firm ground. And then depending how long our battle or wrestle is, because sometimes it can go on for a long time, we need spiritual companions who will come alongside us so that we can continue to stand together in the power of God. But it doesn't stop there, for we're also called to pray. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Pray with all kinds of prayers and requests. Pray for one another. Pray that we would all fearlessly make known the gospel to those around us. I remember someone saying to me, Beck Pope, why do people pray as a last resort when prayer should be our go-to first off? It's so true. Prayer is central to our spiritual warfare. Prayer is central to our lives. It keeps us focused on God and our relationship with Him and our need of Him and the power of partnership. It's in prayer that we ask the Spirit to empower us, to help us to be strong. And it doesn't need to be a complicated prayer. You know, you all know I had a car accident over a year ago. I didn't have time and I did not have the wherewithal to say, Jesus, something's happening and I need you to strengthen me and empower me. It was just Jesus, 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 Jesus. That's all that I remember of the accident. Jesus. It's in prayer that we take hold of His truth and His peace. It's in prayer that we surrender our will to the will of God and that we remind ourselves to ask for God's kingdom to come here on earth as it is in heaven. And it's in prayer that we can thank and praise Him for His righteousness and our salvation and for His grace and mercy. And we can ask in prayer for courage and boldness. And we ask for ourselves and we ask for one another. It's such a privilege to be able to stand with another in prayer in the presence of our Father. And as we do this more often with an openness of heart towards one another and before God, then we are all strengthened. Sometimes it is really hard to ask for prayer. Sometimes it's hard to just utter out loud the words that have been racing around in our heads. Sometimes I know I just say, can you please pray for me? Sometimes I can't articulate what's needed. However, knowing that I need support, I'm trusting the people that I'm asking to pray for me, and I'm trusting that God knows my needs. I know that I've learned to ask for prayer more freely without feeling any shame or that I might be judged. Can I encourage you, when you're feeling overwhelmed, when you're feeling tempted, or just feeling the need for strength in some area, to reach out to others for prayer and support? Not necessarily as the last option, but as the first option. If sharing with others is too difficult, can I encourage you to write your prayers and place them in the prayer jar that we have at the center of the table here each week? We have a team of faithful and willing people who love to pray. Now, when people share their challenges and situations with you, offer to stand with them in prayer. You don't need to have fancy words. Simple prayers are so powerful too. And if people offer to pray for you, then take them up on that offer. We have so much to gain by praying and by being united in prayer. And sadly, we have so much to lose if we do not. We are all strengthened and empowered by the Spirit of the living God as together we make a stand against the spiritual forces of evil. Now, Jesus faced those same spiritual forces here on earth when He was here. And one that we read about that we know was when He was in the wilderness. We remember it was the Spirit of God who led Him into the desert. So we know that Jesus was open to the empowerment and the leading of the Spirit. And in the desert where He was, He fasted. Praying and fasting go together. So if for 40 days he was praying and fasting. And we know that when confronted by the enemy's temptation, that it was Scripture. It was the Word of God, which was firmly and deeply planted in his heart and in his mind, which he used as his weapon, so that even in his vulnerable state, he was able to stand his ground. And then again in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing what was to come, he knew he needed to be strengthened by the Spirit's power. So he asked his friends to come along with him when he went to pray. And knowing what was to come, he surrendered himself in prayer. His honest and heartbreaking prayer, "May this cup be taken from me." And then later, "If it's not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." And then, filled with and empowered by the Spirit, he rose and faced his battle. His battle has an awesome ending. He has paid the price for our sin and saved us from eternal separation from God. He has triumphed over sin and death. That same power that raised Christ from the dead is also for us who believe. That power raised Christ from the dead and seated him at God's right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Hallelujah. Jesus is above all things. Now, these emblems remind us of God's mighty power. They remind us that we are graced and gifted with all that we need to live this life well. And we are encouraged to come and take them together as a community of faith with thanksgiving and praise, that we might give glory to God and receive the grace, mercy, and strength for ourselves and one another. So let's come now and receive these emblems and then take them back to your seat and then we'll eat them together. Father, we thank you for your great love for us. Jesus, we thank you for what you have done for us through your life and death and resurrection and ascension into heaven. I pray you continue to bring revelation to us of what that means and what that looks like for us. And thank you, Spirit of God, for being with us, for empowering us and strengthening us and leading us and guiding us into all truth. We thank you, oh God, that you have good plans for our lives. You have plans to prosper us and not to harm us. Along every step of the way, you never leave us or forsake us, and you equip us with all that we need. I pray you help us to lay hold of everything that you have, everything that we need at the right time. We thank you for all that you have done. We thank you for all that you are doing. And we thank you for what you are going to be doing. And in the name of Jesus, we receive these emblems with thanksgiving and with gratitude. Amen.